Hey, welcome everybody. It's time once again for another episode of Driven by Design. The one show, maybe the only show, that talks about everything that's driving us today, including the things that drive us crazy. Today we're going to get serious and talk about driving.
Right.
Without any gas? Can it really happen? I don't know. Brian Thompson, he's the man.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for tuning in today. We have a special guest, as we always have a special guest, but this one is going to tell us a lot about the future. This is Joe Brighton. And did you say Britain or Brighton?
Britain.
Britain. Sorry about that. This is Joe Britton, and he is from an association called Zeta. And Zeta is bringing us a world without internal combustion engines. That's the quickest way I can get this novel. But let me let you describe what is Zeta for our viewers.
Go by Zeta. I guess it's up for interpretation, but we are a organization of folks that really whose values and strategic interests drive a goal that every vehicle by 2030 ought to be an electric vehicle. So we've got, you know, some of the EV manufacturers like Tesla, Rivian, Lordstown, Lucid, Faraday, Arrival, Proterra. We've got battery folks like Panasonic and some battery recyclers like Li-Cycle, Redwood Materials, Advanced Battery Metals Corporation. There's a whole host of folks that on the supply side, so lithium, cobalt, nickel, and then we've got nearly every charging company and a host of utilities like Duke, Southern, PG&E, Southern California Edison. So basically the entire ecosystem and sector coming together to advocate for an accelerated transition to electric vehicles. And so we're federally focused, so we're talking to Congress and the administration, so EPA, Department of Energy, Department of Transportation. And as you might imagine, during the transition, it's a little bit of a foot race right now, but we're diving in and doing our best to get people bought in on an aspirational goal for electric vehicles.
And that's a great way to end what you just said. So to be bought in on a world of electric vehicles. Now, you know, my background is, you know, 20-year veteran in the car industry designing cars. You know, for I would say the first 10 years, everything was an ICE, you know, internal combustion engine. And then this idea of like e-vehicles started to come out of the niche world and become something that, oh, I think we could actually see that happening. And then when self-driving cars became reality of what's coming in terms of projects, it's like, okay, we're going there. But I think what will help people understand, I think what people would want to understand when they hear you explain the agency is how is the buy-in happen? What does that mean when you say a Tesla is bought in? What have they bought into? Obviously Tesla is an electric car company already, but what does that mean to the average Joe?
Yeah. Well, that's a good question. So, I mean, all of our members have come together under this North Star of every vehicle sold by 2030 should be an EV. So they're bought in. What we're trying to get bought in is lawmakers and some of the federal policymakers. And I think that's step one, set the right policy, have strong consumer incentives, investments in federal charging infrastructure, and then the right performance and emission standards to send the right market signals that this is a transition that as a country we're going to make in the next 10 or 15 years and not the next 40 or 50 years. So that's kind of our primary focus. We're going to, you know, increasingly do public education on this. I think some folks, you know, have a 2005 or even a 1995 view of the electric vehicle. We're not living in the Nissan Leaf alone space. Obviously there's, you know, and we're going to have, you know, 25 more models, I think, out in the next couple of years for, you know, that are going to be the kind of car that you're going to, you know, want to load your family into and go to soccer practice and have 300 or 400 miles range, just like you would with a normal gas-powered car. And so the technology's changing. The prices are coming down. Right now, there's six models that cost less than the average MSRP for their counterparts in the sedan market. And, you know, I think right now, you know, the real benchmark is about $100 per kilowatt hour for the battery when we think there's going to be a real catalyst. That's coming down to $75 per kilowatt hour, making its way down to $50 per kilowatt hour. And when we do that, you'll see a dramatic shift. That's the catalyst. Because right now, there's already, you know, maintenance and service and fuel savings. And especially with a strong federal incentive, you know, we're going to be at price parity and beyond. And this is just going to be a no-brainer. And so I think that's the place that, you know, we're trying to increase, you know, consumer awareness and escalate that catalyst moment where we move to a zero-emission future And I don't know if you've driven many EVs. The other thing is that the performance and the torque is dramatic. You're not waiting for the RPMs to rev. You're off and going. And so that's another part of this. Yeah.
Segue here. So let's talk about performance and the excitement of driving. Do you come at this industry from an enthusiast? Would you call yourself a car guy, or are you more from a different part of it?
Yeah, well, actually, so I come at it from two ways. One is when I was a sophomore in high school, I don't know if you guys had a career day. My career day was spent at the auto body shop. And I don't know that I was envisioned myself as a guy that was going to spend the rest of his life there, but I took classes at the local community college in high school, and fully restored a 1976 GMC Sierra Grande pickup. I did a 62 Ford Galaxy XL, a 75 Jeep CJ. So I come at it from that standpoint, but also I'm a climate and conservation guy, and so I also feel strongly about emissions and public health and decarbonization.
Mm-hmm. So it's kind of you have a collaborative set of interests you're bringing together. What a perfect job for you, really.
Exactly.
The reason I asked that is because I've been in cars for so long, and I have my fair share of vintage restorations, but everything that I see coming in terms of the actual cars I'm designing, they don't even have steering wheels anymore, much less an ICE, they're full on robots nowadays.
Yeah.
So what I often hear people say is, they're thinking a step further, which is I don't want to give up my steering wheel. And then when I say they, I mean, typically it's generationally focused. What sure. do you say when you get that pushback from a pure traditionalist that says, that's not a car, it's electric. What emotion does that evoke in you? What do you want to communicate to them?
Well, there was I know you guys are posting this on YouTube. This was probably 8 to 10 years ago. They had one of the highest performing drag racing cars out there line up against a stripped down Tesla, and it got smoked. So
yeah.
I think, you talk about performance and what is traditional. I think, nobody's going to want to go back to, burning fuel and being slower.
That's a great way to put it. Burning fuel and being slower. The psychology of cars is such a different aspect than the functionality of cars, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, people buy cars for very irrational reasons, even though in their mind they're very logical, the best mileage, the safety, et cetera. But really, at the end of the day, it comes down to what does that car make you feel? Otherwise, I wouldn't have a job, right, designing these cars. Right? You have to make somebody feel something. And one of the things I often hear is it's the sound of the engine. It's the vibration of the NASCAR style, noises and smells of the gasoline that make people get enthusiastic. So for me, it's like, yes, that's true. I enjoy that. But there's also another side of car design, which is the high tech. And it actually can make me feel something that I didn't even expect.
Mm-hmm.
Do you find that you're experiencing that as well? Or do you, how have your experiences been when somebody who is, let's say, resistant to the idea of an electric car experiences what you're talking about? Do you have a story of maybe somebody going, pow, oh my God, this thing is actually amazing?
Yeah. Well, so I think the number one thing I'd say on that point is that the acceleration, again, going back to performance, if you haven't been in one of these things, you feel like if it had wings, it would take off.
Yeah.
And that's really what, the performance is. But I think on the other front, the technology is moving rapidly. I mean, the ability for these cars to suit your everyday family needs is dramatic. And I actually think the thing that, probably, gets more people interested in EVs than anything else is just never going back to the gas station. You start every day with a full tank of gas, and that part of your life just kind of, is over. And so I think, that's something that people increasingly think about. And the range is increasing dramatically. I read this morning, there's new models coming out that are going to be 400, 500 plus miles of range. And, that's 40 or 50 times the average mileage that a person would drive in a day. So I think, there's a host of things that the technology and innovation are solving for, but, everybody just needs to, figure out, and they do this when they're buying a car, they go through and figure out what their family needs and, what the right answers are. But, certainly as price parity arrives, you're going to save money on not only price, but also maintenance and service and fuel. And at that point, you add that with a superior product, and it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's an interesting transition that I think people have psychologically from for what we thought of as a car to what a car is becoming. And if you really break it down to what is an automobile, it's only been around for a very short term in terms of history, right? And this idea of needing to go places has been here for a long time. And then there's the underlying psychology of, I want to enjoy myself doing it. And so kind of what I hear you saying is that there's these other aspects of it that if you keep your mind open, actually open up to it. Can I ask you, because a lot of the focus of the show is the personal inspiration. What brought you into this industry? Why did you get involved in this? Like, what's your mission?
Yeah, so I mean, the jumping off point was actually, I was working in the U.S. Senate, was chief of staff from a senator from New Mexico named Martin Heinrich. He was the lead Democrat on the consumer incentive bill. So I got to know these folks really well. And, you know, given my car history and background, I really enjoyed working in this space. And so when I left public service, found a real interest in having a new mission and voice for the EV community in Washington, D.C. And I started talking to folks that were, bought in and really wanting to have a more mission-driven, purpose-driven advocacy for the electric vehicle. And nearly everybody said yes. We've grown quickly. We started off with about a dozen members. We're now well over 50, and it's growing rapidly. I think it's actually a signal of where the sector is going. So if you look back, pre-World War II, we actually had a fairly distributed automotive sector. There was a lot of consolidation over the next 10 years down to, 6 to 8 companies. And we're now back in, the pendulum is swinging back, and there's a ton of aspiring kind of insurgent companies that are putting a lot of pressure on the incumbents. I think you saw GM today announce that every model that they're going to offer by 2035 will be an electric vehicle. And I think that's response to a couple things. One is obviously a new administration, and I think some, federal action that we all anticipate seeing. But also there is a true passion and a lot of smaller startups and aspiring companies, even some pre-revenue, that are just tackling this market, and they're going to be the story of innovation. So I think, everybody's trying to race ahead and figure out where the consumer is going to be, and it's very clearly in an EV.
Yeah, it's funny. That's the brunt of my income. There are these pre-funded startups, right? They're all, there's so many of them really trying to get that egg, like that pot of gold. And when I think of the industry as a whole, that's the sign that this is happening, because there are so many of them. Most of them will fail. That's what I always find, but there'll be one or two that get there, and then the tipping point starts to happen. So as we sort of wrap up here, I want to ask a couple things our newer viewers want to know. First, what kind of car do you drive? What's your favorite car? And how do people find you?
So I drive a Model X. I've got a reservation on a Rivian. I am very excited about my, the RST and Rivian that I hope to get in June. But I'm still waiting. I'm cheering them on, hoping that it'll come as soon as possible. And then, folks can find us at zeta2030.org. I'm available at joe@zeta2030.org. You could go there and you can actually see a really comprehensive plan, our policy platform federally on how to electrify the transportation sector by 2030. They're welcome to also go and ask their congressman and their senator about it. We're out there every day sharing what that roadmap really is and how they can make progress on electrification. So I'd encourage them not only to visit us, but to, be active and ask their, member of the U.S. House or member of the U.S. Senate, what they're doing on transportation electrification.
Yeah, that's great information. I mean, and my takeaway from all of this, again, as always, it's an exciting time to be in automotive because the concept of a car is changing so much. And I think, for me as a futurist, right, somebody that lives in the future, looks back on the present as if it's the past. It's like, what a cool opportunity we have to do something really amazing, have some really new kinds of experiences in automotive. So grateful for your work. I'm excited to see more of it. And I've certainly got it on my bookmarks now. So please reach out to him and let's keep this going.
Yeah, thanks for having me, and just invite everybody to join in this movement and advocate for the transition.
Yes, as my grandpa would say, thanks for being had.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to another great example of all we do here on Driven by Design, right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net.